the verse that I'm going to be using this morning. We already mentioned it, Luke chapter 8. And you may stay seated. Just follow along. We're going to be reading several verses, Luke chapter 8, verses 8 through 20. But once you find it, just let me know. Just give me a church head nod, or just let me know, holla, or brother, amen, or however you do it. Thank you. Just let me know you're there so I can wait on you. Luke chapter 2, we'll start with verse 8 all the way to 20. Amen. And that it's also on the screen. But if you have your Bibles, you can follow. Now there were shepherds in the region, living in the fields and keeping the night watch over the flock. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were struck with great fear. And the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy." That's what we were singing earlier. "That will be for all people." All people. "For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts of angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth be peace and goodwill to all men." And when the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known the message that had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed by what had been told to the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as has been told to them. Father, bless your word. Thank you for this morning. Continue to speak to us today as we share the story of Christmas. It's Jesus. We celebrate, we honor, we praise, and we glorify that name today. That's the way we celebrate, God. We celebrate the birth of our Savior that's come unto us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin. Christmas is in a couple of days, week or so, 2 weeks. And I hope that you are excited about that. How many love Christmas? I love Christmas. Amen. We get to eat, time off of work, spend time at home. My wife loves them old Christmas stories, and she'll watch them. She watched them all day yesterday, well, not all day, but when she got home. And then I'm like, is there something else? But just the Christmas spirit, the Christmas story, you know. The ones I do love, I love Rudolph the Red Nose. You know, I watch those cartoons and Charlie Brown Christmas. But it's the season is here. I can't believe that the year's over. I mean, I literally remember when we started January, and I'm like, oh, it's gone. And we're already finishing a year, starting a new year. I've titled this sermon, "The Heart of Christmas." And we find some shepherd boys that were in the fields, that were keeping watch over the flock, over the sheep. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And they were struck with fear. But when they saw this, the angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you good news." Christmas, or the heart of Christmas, is good news. We have something good to say. We have something positive to say. We have something, something that I think even now, as Christians, we need to be a voice and to say something. Christmas is the day we celebrate. And as the worship team was leading us in songs, they were singing of songs of joy and of worship, or of great joy. And I think that's the attitude of every Christian, especially in Christmas. Joy is a decision. I choose to celebrate God. I choose to honor Him. I choose to rejoice in no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to celebrate Him. Now, feelings come and go. Feelings, sometimes we feel up, sometimes we feel down. But joy, you decide, or you make a decision to say, no matter what's happening around me, no matter if things are not going my way, today I choose to celebrate God. I choose to honor Him. I choose to rejoice. And when you choose that, that joy, I think, provokes in us an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of rejoicing. And this is what these guys, these pastors, are just working in the fields, and the angel appears unto them and says, I bring you good news. I bring you joy. Good news, I bring you a good message. Today, Christmas, we made it into so many things. But one of the things as the church, we need to redefine the culture, and even society today talks about Christmas being a time of just gifts, of eating, or maybe time off from work. But for the Christian, for the church, point number one, if you're writing notes, it's the Advent. The Advent is the arrival. Maybe this is the first time you've heard this. It's the arrival of a notable person, thing, or an event. It's the coming of Christ into the world, Christ's incarnation, or in the flesh. Certain religions, certain denominations use this word. Sometimes us Pentecostals don't, but they also, the Advent season is the four Sundays before Christmas, and they celebrate that. And it's the same thing. They're recognizing the coming, that Christ came. Advent literally means something has arrived. You might have heard the advent of the TV, the advent of the cell phone, the advent of the internet. Something arrived. That's exactly what the pastors are experiencing. The advent, Christ has come. Christ, the Savior, has been born unto us. And this is the sign that the Savior was born, that you will find him in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And the pastors go to Bethlehem, and they find Jesus. They find this baby. And they find him in swaddling clothes and in the manger, as a sign to them what the angel had told him, that the arrival, the advent of Christ was taking place. And as Christians, that is our time. Now is our season to recognize that Jesus has come to us, that a Savior has been born, that we have a message, that we have something to say. One of the reasons we're doing it, we always do a Christmas outreach, is to tell the community, we're not just at church or here to give out toys or to have a carnival or to have food for everybody. We're here to announce that Christ has come. The Savior has come. We are here to announce that we are a church that preaches Jesus, to let the world know, to let the community know that Christ has come unto us and a Savior has been born. That's the heart of Christmas. Notice something. When the angels come, they come to these pastors that are on the hillsides. When you were a pastor, back in those days, that's all you were going to be. Your life was going to be dedicated to watching over animals out in the outskirts, in these hillsides, in the countryside. And you pretty much didn't have a social life, pretty much didn't go up the ranks in society. You were pretty much bound to that job and that type of work. One of the things that I think we see, even as we look at the passages, there was 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament where God did not speak. And the first time God speaks, he speaks to these pastors. He speaks to these lowly little pastors that are hiding or that are up on a hilltop. When God decides to speak, he speaks to pastors. Maybe today you're saying, when we say pastor, sometimes we think it's the person up here or somebody in charge of the church. But back in those days, a pastor was somebody that was out with the animals. A pastor was somebody that was secluded and pretty much wasn't around society or around people. But notice who God decides to speak after breaking his silence. The Bible says that he came to these pastors. God always comes to the least and to the lost. I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you're saying, well, I feel like I've been secluded. I feel like I'm going through a season of dryness, of loneliness. I feel like things that are going my way. I feel like I'm abandoned. I feel like I'm just stuck somewhere on the side. Maybe you're going through a season where things are not going your way. Christmas is about you too. God has something to say to you. God always speaks to the low and to the lonely, or to the least and to the lost. One of the things that I appreciate about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it comes to, about as we read, it came to all people. It wasn't just for the elite or the governors or the politicians. It came to the low, the sick, the dying, these pastors. Today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your economic status is, no matter if you're high or low, or if things are going right or things are not going right in your family, or maybe Christmas to you is a sad time because it reminds you of something that went wrong, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a job, a loss of something. If you feel today like, man, I want to celebrate Christmas, but I just have too much stuff going around me, God today is here for you also. The least, the lost, the lonely, the desperate, the hurting, the crying, no matter what you're going through, God is for you, and God is for you today in this Christmas. That's the heart of Christmas. A Savior has come unto us. One of the reasons we always do an outreach during Christmas is to let the community know, hey, we're here. We're not just a church with people, a bunch of people come and go. We're here to let you know we care about you. Sometimes, many times we invite people, but they say, well, I go to another church. Church thing is not about, I really don't do the church thing. That doesn't really, you know, Sundays I do other stuff. But when we tell them, hey, how about bringing your kids to a carnival? Oh, I'll go to that. How about some free hot dogs or some free tamales or some free food? Oh, I'll go to that. How about, you know, hanging out over here and we're going to give out some toys. We want to thank certain Roy and Claudia and their organizations that have donated toys. And so we're giving out toys. We weren't going to give toys out this year, but we have a bunch of toys now. So we're going to give some of those out. But that's our way of saying we're here. We care about you. We're not just coming from Humble Spring, from the surrounding areas, coming on Sunday and worshiping and getting out of here. But it is our way of saying we want to make an impact in this community. We are here to give the gospel. We're here to let this community, this place know that there's still hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to the least and to the lost. Advent. I remember speaking to a young man that told me, Pastor, you know, all you're saying is nice, it's good, but I'm just too messed up, Pastor. I've just made too many mistakes. I've disappointed so many people. There's just too many broken pieces. There's no way out for me. There's just... everybody knows my story. That's exactly who Jesus came for. The least and the lost. And maybe today you're saying, man, that's me. I've made some mistakes. I've disappointed my family. I've disappointed my parents. I've disappointed people. I've gone through so many trials, so many mistakes. People don't even take me serious anymore. Give Jesus a try this morning, this Christmas, and God will change it around. God always comes for the least and for the lost. Point number one was Advent, the arrival. Jesus came. Point number two is adoration. We see that the angels, verses 13 and 14, begin this celestial choir, begin to sing glory to the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill to all men. Christmas, or the heart of Christmas, is not just recognizing that Jesus has come, but it's also adoration, it's worship, it's praise, it's getting excited, it's joy. It's singing. It's allowing God to move in us and around us. I love Christmas too. I love the Christmas songs. But one of the things we need to realize also is that if you want God to step in, if you want God to show up, it requires adoration. The angels came. Not only did the angels speak, but they worshiped. This Christmas, don't just recognize how good God has been, but worship Him for it. And say, God, I know right now it's difficult, but I worship You anyway. God, right now I'm going through problems, but I know You're faithful. One of the times when they were singing these songs, I was raising my hands and I was just, what our worship leader was saying, just breathe it in, just accept it. Because the moment you take God in, life happens. I don't want you to misunderstand me, but God shows up
him when you worship him. You got to get excited for what God has done for you. I get it all the time. But Pastor, I just don't want to. Pastor, I'm just tired. Pastor, I'm just having a hard time. If you want God to show up, you got to give it up. If you want God to do something, you got to worship him. Don't expect God to just move on your behalf and you're going to sit there and grope around, sit and sour and not say nothing. You have to say, God, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to worship you anyway, God. Maybe nobody around me is getting excited, but I'm going to get excited for you, God. I'm going to worship you this Christmas. This Christmas is not about me and my feelings, God. This Christmas, I'm going to lift up my hands and lift you up higher, God, and I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. Are there any praises in the house this morning that say, I want to join the angels in this Christmas and exalt his holy name. I worship him today. Oh, how many can say amen? Hallelujah. Or thank you, Jesus. If you want God to show up, you got to say something. You got to worship him. I remember one time that I came in here with a headache and I was struggling. And I heard a testimony one time. Somebody said that they were the music was loud and they were singing and he had a headache. And he said, God, you either blow take this pain away or just, you know, but I want to worship you. And I remember hearing that testimony, and I walked in and I was dealing with this headache, and I said, God, I'm in your house. If your presence is here, touch me. And the moment I said that thing left me. And I lifted up my hands and I say, God, you're for real. See, it doesn't matter what you're going through, how you walked in this place, how many problems you got. The moment you invite him, the moment you just lift up your hands, the moment you just sing the song, something takes place. The atmosphere changes. The presence of God descends. God fills this place. And the same thing that was attacking you, that fear, that doubt, that sickness, has to go because God has showed up. And God shows up when the people praise him. And how many praise him this morning? How many praise him today in this Christmas? Your praise makes you a target for a blessing. The angels, notice, the angels created an atmosphere of worship. Christmas, you cannot have Christmas and not worship. Christmas is about adoration. And this Christmas, I hope you have a spirit of worship in your spirit. A spirit of adoration. The third thing I see here is not just Advent that he came. Number two, it was also adoration. But the third one is the announcement. The shepherd said, let us go to Bethlehem and say, or to see Mary and Joseph, and to share the message about this child. They begin to announce those things that were revealed to them. And as they were speaking, you could see it on the screen. As people heard them, people were amazed from their announcement, from the message. That's what the gospel does. That's what Jesus does. The moment you announce, the moment you preach, the moment you proclaim Jesus, people will be amazed. That's what happened this last outreach we had last month, and I believe that's what's going to happen next week. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to preach Jesus. We're going to preach the message, the good news, because when we preach the gospel, people get amazed. They're saying, I came in here with an addiction. I came here drugged up. I came here drunk. I came here with problems. I came in here sick. But the moment I heard the gospel, the message of Christ, of Jesus, that changed me. And people will be amazed because it's Jesus that changed. It's Jesus that heals. It's Jesus that brings transformation. That's why we preach this message. It's the announcement. This Christmas, announce the gospel. How many say amen? Jesus Christ changed me. I know Jesus changed many of us. But that's the heart of Christmas. Announce him this year. Pastor was saying you have that invitation in your bulletins, and some of you may throw it away, some of you may just leave it here. But take the challenge. Give it to a neighbor. Give it to a coworker. Give it to somebody at the restaurant. Or give it to a family member. One of the things about my father-in-law, and I see this in my wife too, but my father-in-law is he's real good with people one-on-one. I mean, he'll sit with you and talk to you for hours. He'll have your attention. And I remember we were helping him and at his church, and he will sit literally 2 hours in a parking lot talking to one person. And you see the wife and the kids over there all fighting and, you know, let's go. And you see us over here waiting. But that's just his gift. He could talk to people, and he shares the gospel. Maybe you don't have that gift, but you could give out an invitation. You could say, why don't you come with me today? Don't say come with me to church, because they might say, I don't do church. Say, come with me to a carnival. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I'll go. You know, anyway, it'll be after the Texas game, so I think I have my time free, so I'll go. But invite them to come. This is our way. This is our way as a church to give the announcement, to proclaim. I was hearing a message on of one of our missionaries. Dr. Brian Klontz is one of the directors of World Missions to the Assemblies of God. And I was hearing him share a testimony. It was a preaching. He was sharing a testimony of a pastor in Nigeria. This pastor has started a church and a church plant. And the Assemblies of God was helping him. And the church started growing. So when the pastor went to Africa, to Nigeria, to meet with him, the pastor began to share his testimony, the way the church was growing. He said, Pastor Dr. Brian Klontz, the church is growing. And then they asked him, how did you get here? What was your success? Well, we church planted, and the church started thriving and growing, and people started coming. We started preaching Jesus, and Jesus was doing, you know, the rest. He was changing people. He goes, but we've run into some problems. Nigeria is mostly a Muslim country. And as the church started growing, the elders of the city came up to this pastor and told him, you need to stop preaching Jesus. If you don't stop preaching Jesus, we're going to beat you. We're going to hurt you. Well, the pastor heard their request, but he kept preaching Jesus. A couple of months passed, Sundays passed, and they were faithful to their promise. They beat him. They beat him, and they hurt him. They told him, you better stop preaching Jesus. Stop announcing. And they told him, if you keep preaching Jesus, not only are we going to beat you, but now we're going to beat your family, your wife, and your daughters. So he kept preaching Jesus. And these elders, these people, were faithful to their word. They beat his wife severely and beat his daughters. So when the pastor, Dr. Klontz, met with them, they were in a sabbatical, some time off, meeting with the family. And the pastor told this missions director, what do I do? Do I go back? Do I stay with my family? Do I go somewhere else? And Dr. Klontz said, man, this really, I don't know how to answer you. I've never experienced anything like this. And Dr. Klontz just told him, just pray about it. So they prayed about it. Well, Dr. Klontz came back to the States, and this pastor stayed in Nigeria. And he heard a report that this pastor, after being away, after a time of healing, that God told him to go back to that place. As of 2 months ago, that pastor gave his life for the gospel. Church, we're called to the announcement. That's what Christmas is about. We have to say something this Christmas. Look what others have done. I know we want gifts. I know we want to have our parties. And that's okay. That's okay. But Christmas, the heart of Christmas, is announcing the gospel. Finish with these testimonies. Brother Roy helped us at the last outreach. He shared, he was preaching on that night. There was a young man that came and told us, well, this family, we've been getting all these testimonies. This family called the church and said, man, that outreach was powerful. Because this sister had this young man that didn't want to go to church. He wanted nothing to do with church. So they invited him to the carnival. He said, I'll go to the carnival. I just won't go to church. He told him, church is for my mom, my grandma, and my sisters. That's churches for y'all. But I'll go to the carnival. So he comes to the carnival. He likes the food. He likes the carnival. He likes hanging out. And, you know, after the carnival, we all went to the gym and just, we started preaching the gospel to him. We had some dramas, some plays, and then Brother Roy was sharing the gospel. Well, when he heard the gospel, something touched him. That message got to him. He said, you know, I came for the carnival, but when that preacher was preaching, that message came into my heart and broke me. And he gave his life to Jesus that night, our last outreach. The gospel works. The message works. Another member of our church invited a co-worker also. And that co-worker came with this person. They came to the carnival and they were here. And this person wasn't really church friendly. Didn't know a lot of the church stuff. But when they came to the carnival, they also sat in the gym and heard the message. And that co-worker gave her life to the Lord that Sunday night when she heard the message. Now, these are testimonies, not stuff that we're inventing or making up. This is stuff coming from people in our congregation. The last one I have here, another sister, I saw her in here, but she walked out. She was sharing, she invited a neighbor. She also came to the carnival and to the outreach. And she came, she loved it, her kids loved it, and they were here, and they enjoyed it. Now, they didn't respond to the message, they didn't respond to the altar call, but they liked the whole atmosphere. They liked the whole, what the church was doing. So they came back on Sunday. And I remember that Sunday morning when I was preaching, I ended the service by saying, if you need a miracle, if you need a blessing, you need a breakthrough, just raise your hand. I think God's going to give it to you this morning. And we did that, we prayed, and we raised our hands. Well, that family that came with the sister from our church came back to that Sunday. They came, and when I said that, that sister, or that person that was invited, raised up their hand and said, well, I'm just going to believe for a miracle. Raised up their hand, but nothing happened here. Service was over. Later on during the week, they called the church, or they tell us. When I walked in that church, I've had pain problems for years. When the pastor said to raise our hands, I raised my hands. Nothing happened there. But it's been 3 or 4 days, and I have no pain in my back. Pain-free, my back feels good. God has healed me. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the message, of the announcement. That's the power of the message of Christmas. May I ask that you stand. Ben, would you help me on the keyboard? I'm going to finish a little early today. I want to do something. Thank you guys for coming. You guys are here for the first time. Is your family here? See, they're here. This is whatever.